What would have to happen in your life for you to say, my cup runs over? What blessing would God have to give you, or what thing would you have to receive for you to be able to make that statement? My cup runs over. What we're going to look at today should cause all of us to proclaim those words spoken by David. Maybe when we hear that question, our mind goes to a car. If I can get this certain car, if I can get this house, or if I have a certain level of health, or maybe if I can get into this relationship with the right guy or girl, maybe our mind goes to all of those different places when we think about our cup running over. What we're going to see today is a guarantee that that can happen for us. What we're going to look at today in Psalm 23 should cause all of us to just shout from the top of the mountains, my cup runs over. As we return to Psalm 23 this morning, we're going to witness one of the most important promises that God gives us. There are times when we read through the Bible, because of changes that have happened in society, even the way that we earn our livings for the most part, things have changed. We have gone from a predominantly agricultural society to one more invested in technology and business. Some of the illustrations that we see in the Bible, maybe we don't connect to them the way that people did in the first century. And perhaps the meaning of some of the stories and some of the images are lost on us. We don't really see what God is telling us, the bigness of what some of these images are trying to convey to us. The imagery that we see in Psalm 23 today, it's a picture that can change our lives. It's a picture that can perhaps alter how we feel about our God. Let's read this great psalm again. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If the figure of the shepherd and his sheep is retained at this point in the psalm, if we keep that imagery moving forward here to Psalm 23, verse 5, then at this particular point, what the psalmist is talking about is a beautiful custom that was practiced in the Eastern culture. It would be the final act of the day for the shepherd. If you've ever worked on a farm, or if you've ever been involved with animals, if you've ever done things on a ranch, you know there's certain things that you do throughout the day. There are things that you do as you begin the day, and there's always going to be that last thing. And for all of us who are involved in other works, we have a flow to our day, and we know what the end of a day looks like. Well, this would be the final act of the day for a shepherd. Let me ask you this question. How do you feel at the end of a day? At the end of most days, how do you feel? You know, there's a lot of days when I am spent. When I get to the end of it, there are times when I am spent physically. Maybe I've been involved in some hard labor. There are many days when I am spent emotionally. Usually at the end of the day, I am ready for rest and refreshment. And there's three R's that go together. Rest and refreshment can be found in the recliner. It's kind of my motto for life. And at the end of a long day, that's what I want. I want my recliner where I can find some rest and refreshment. Now consider how a shepherd would feel at the conclusion of a long day. Maybe he has fought off enemies. Perhaps he has rescued a wayward lamb and carried it all the way back to the fold. Maybe he carried it through valleys and over mountains. Very likely he has led his sheep through some challenging and difficult terrain. And at the end of the day, no doubt the shepherd is tired. The shepherd is worn down. The shepherd is weary from the events of his day. Nevertheless, he is still concerned about his sheep. And so at the end of a long day, the shepherd will position himself and he will become the door of the sheepfold. This is what David is talking about here in Psalm 23. He anoints my head with oil, my cup overflows. The shepherd positions himself, so he becomes the gate. And it's right here that the rotting of the sheep takes place. Now the shepherd, don't forget about his day. Don't forget about everything that he has done. He has led his sheep to safety. He has protected them. He has fought for them. He has rescued them. He has led them to the green pastures. He's led them to the water. He's done all of this. His day has been full. And he's tired. He's weary. But still yet, he's thinking about those sheep. And he becomes that gate. And he turns his body. And he allows the sheep to pass, at least those that are healthy. He becomes the door, just as Jesus said of himself. And with his rod in his hand, he holds back the sheep as he inspects them one by one as they pass into the fold. They have to pass the measures that are in place before the shepherd will allow them to enter into the fold. And he has a horn that's filled with olive oil. And he has cedar tar. And he's preparing himself for the next task of the day. The shepherd now becomes the vet. He anoints a knee that was bruised on the rocks. He takes care of a scratch on the side of a lamb. Maybe the lamb got into some thorns and is bleeding. The shepherd will take care of that. And the shepherd, he knows exactly what to look for because he has all of these marks on his body. He probably has the same bruises, the same bruised knees. He probably has the same scratches on his skin that he's looking for there on the sheep. When I think about this scene, my mind goes back to when I grew up taking care of animals on the farm. My mind goes to FFA and 4-H, all of that involvement with animals. But even more recently, my mind goes to Shannon, taking care of my daughter, taking care of Jalen. How many nights have moms stayed up doctoring their little lambs? How many sleepless nights have moms had praying for their little lambs? This is now the work of the shepherd for his sheep. He takes care of the wounded. He gives them what they need. And here comes one lamb that's not bruised. It's not scratched. It's just simply worn down and exhausted. And the shepherd, he can always tell when a lamb is just completely worn out and weary. And what he will do is this. He'll bathe its face and head with the refreshing olive oil. And he takes a large two-handed cup and he dips it brimming full with water so that the sheep can get a drink. There is nothing finer in this psalm than this picture. And it's probably one that we struggle to connect to. Because how many of us have truly been out taking care of sheep? How many of us have been out there in the green pastures? How many of us have been through the valleys, up over the mountains? How many of us have led our sheep to safety? How many have fought off wolves or lions or bears? And because it's so distant from us, maybe we miss what God is trying to tell us here in Psalm 23, verse 5. God's care is not just for the wounded. No doubt, He provides that. God will take care of us when we are beat down in this world, when we're bruised and scratched. That's great news for us, because we suffer a lot of wounds in this world. But what we also see is that God, He takes care of the worn and the weary. Now, the shepherd knows some of the sheep are weary and tired. How does He know that? Because He's weary and tired. He anoints my head with oil, my cup runs over. Think about these words for just a moment. It's time to wake up from your mid-sermon nap. Bueller, all right, wake up, here we go. I want you to think about Psalm 23, verse 5. Think about these words. What comes into your mind? Let me ask you a pointed question. What do you think of from the New Testament when you read Psalm 23, verse 5? You anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over. What does your mind think of from the New Testament when you see these words? Let me tell you what comes to my mind. That's sort of my job, so I'll share with you what comes into my head. It's Matthew 11, 28 through 30. When I think of David when he wrote Psalm 23, when I think of that thought, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runs over, I think about our great shepherd. I think about Jesus as He looked out at people. That's who He cared about. He cared about people. The people were His sheep. The people were His lambs. In Matthew chapter 9, just previous to this, Jesus, He looked out over the crowds. He looked at people, and He saw that they were struggling. He was like that shepherd who became the door, and He was looking out at the people, and He saw people that were brokenhearted. He saw people that were beat down by life. And He describes them with these words. They're like sheep without a shepherd. You have all of these people that are out there in the world, all of these people that are beat down, they're bruised, they're scratched, and there is no shepherd to take care of them. There's no shepherd to anoint their head with oil. There's no shepherd to take care of the bruises and the scratches. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They're like a hurt, broken down animal without a vet. Like a child without a parent or a guardian to take care of them. So Jesus in Matthew chapter 11, knowing the condition of His sheep, He extends an invitation. I picture the shepherd as He's inviting the sheep into the fold at night, inviting them in for that night of rest. And our great shepherd says to us, come to me. You're invited. Come be a part of me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. These words weren't spoken by Peter. These words were not spoken by Paul. They weren't spoken by John. These are words from our Savior, from our shepherd. This is our Savior speaking to us. This is our Savior inviting us, our shepherd extending the invitation of all invitations. It's as if He's standing right there at the door of the sheepfold, and He's carefully examining each and every one of us, and He knows what to look for because He's been here. He's lived on earth. He knows what it's like to be weary. He knows what it's like to be burdened with things. He's been bruised. He's been wounded. He's been tired. He's been weary. He knows, just like the shepherd out there in the fields, he knows what those sheep are feeling because he's feeling it. Our shepherd, he knows us. He knows what we're going through. And he stands right there at the door. And he's ready to anoint us, to refresh us. What an invitation. What an offer that our Savior gives us. No office which our Savior performs is more important or more valuable than this. As Jesus reaches out to his weary, worn down children and offers rest. I can't think of anything more valuable than this. Because we're going to get beat up in this world. We're going to get bruised. Do you remember what God says to us way back in Genesis 3, verse 15? Way back in Genesis chapter 3, after the fall of Adam and Eve, we see God launching his plan to redeem all humanity. In Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, we have the first messianic prophecy. And there's something there that's spoken of concerning the serpent, concerning Satan. Satan is going to bruise the heel of the Savior, of Jesus. But Jesus will deliver the death blow to the serpent. But I want you to focus on that phrase, the serpent would bruise the heel of Jesus. That's what Satan does. He lashes out. He scratches us. He bruises us. And his ultimate desire, what he wants, now this is what Satan wants. If we know his master plan, and this is his goal for everybody, he wants to destroy us, to crush us. How do you think Jesus felt after his temptations in the wilderness? Jesus led out there to the desert, led out by the Spirit, and he's tempted by Satan. How do you think Jesus felt after that? How do you think Jesus felt after the temptations in the garden, where he's pouring his heart out to the Father, Lord, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, but not my will be done, but yours. How do you think Jesus felt at the conclusion of all of that? Well, Luke actually describes to us Jesus' condition. And these words are graphic, and they become etched in our minds because they're brutal in their intensity. This is how Jesus felt. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. Jesus, he's worn down. He's weary. What a burden he's carrying here. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. Jesus is in anguish, physically, emotionally, spiritually. With every devastating strike to the head, with every spit in the face, with every crushing blow, bruising and splitting his skin, it was as if Satan himself was delivering every gut-wrenching shot. Genesis 3, verse 15, that's what we're seeing right here. He bruised the heel of Jesus, but he lashed out against him. He lashed out through evil men. He lashed out through people whose hearts were set on violence. Satan, he left a lot of bruises on our Savior. Now, what do we expect to happen to us? This world, it'll beat you down. It'll leave you bruised, scratched. It will leave us tired and weary. Guys, we need this. We need what Jesus has to offer right here. We don't have to put our hands up in the air to reveal that we get tired, that we get weary, that we get worn down. That's just humanity. And Jesus knows humanity. We need care from our shepherd. We need Jesus. What would it take for you to be able to write these words? What would it take for you to be able to proclaim what David penned right here in Psalm 23, verse 5? My cup, it runs over. As we walk into the sheepfold at the end of another day, lived in service to our Lord and Master, we can always look forward to this scene. We can look forward to our shepherd taking care of us, seeing that we're weary, seeing that we're tired, seeing that we're bruised and scratched. We can look forward to the anointing with oil. And as a result of this, if this is all we have, if we lose everything else in life, but we still have this connection with the shepherd, we still have this relationship. You can lose everything, but if you still have this, if you still have Jesus, you can say, my cup runs over. You could be broke. You could be facing terminal illness. You could have struggles in your family. You could lose your job. You could lose your house. You could have no car. But if you got this, you can say, my cup runs over. Maybe you need this. It's only provided by Jesus. And if you don't have Jesus, you don't have this. What a blessing. What a Savior. If you need to start your relationship with Him today, we give you this opportunity as we stand and sing together.